The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The first ever Monday Night Football playoff game with a trip to Tampa next weekend on the line. Got it down! Odell Beckham Jr.!
This is exactly the scenario that Kyler Murray said he didn't want to be in.
It's intercepted into the end zone!
You know, absolutely can't do that.
LA is having their way. Touchdown, Rams!
What a team win, right? Just proud to be a part of this team. It'll be a big challenge for us going on the road against Tom and those guys. It's going to be a big challenge.
He's Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do? We get a people! What they want. Jalen, we love Kyler Murray. Kyler's been on the show. We've been celebrating Kyler for the last couple years. Kyler Murray's first playoff game did not go according to Kyler Murray's plan. From the very beginning of the game, he was in trouble, and it was no more exemplified than when he was in the grasp in the end zone and threw a very easy pick six to the Rams defense. Before we celebrate the Rams, what did you think about Kyler Murray's struggles last night?
That'll be Kyler Pesci to you, sir. Put some respect on my guy's name. Don't make me go Casino, Bronx Tale, or Goodfellas with my guy Kyler Pesci, who was playing without DeAndre Hopkins in his first playoff game. And so the first, there was a few three and outs. Their first seven series, as a matter of fact, it was five punts and two interceptions. And when you really want to evaluate the play of Kyler Pesci, I want everybody to remember something. Take a deep breathing exercise. If those two quarterbacks switch teams, I'll be picking the Rams to win the Super Bowl this year, hands down. So, again, I want to give the Rams star-studded squad a ton of credit. This is why the Cronkies put this squad together in LA, new stadium, star-studded crowd, big names on defense, Von Miller getting the sack. You see Aaron Donald rushing up the field making plays. You add a Matthew Stafford who gets his first playoff win after being with my Lions for over a decade. There were so many factors going against Cliff Kingsbury and my guy, Kyler Pesci.
Well, on the other side of the ball, it was the Rams who had no trouble moving the ball in comparison to the Cardinals. And Odell Beckham Jr. threw for a 40-yard pass, caught himself the first touchdown of the game. Jalen, how threatened would you be if you are some of the other teams left in the NFC after watching this Monday Night Football domination from the Rams?
Well, we know that they're in the mix, but remember, there's a reason why the Packers didn't play this weekend, because they earned a bye. We saw the Bucs and how they performed this week, but it was good to see the Rams actually live up to the hype, because there were certain games this year where they flat out just did not. They would have a big time win and then a head scratching loss. It was great to see Akers running the ball, but let me talk about the Odell thing. A wonderful athlete can run, can catch, can throw. What has happened for Odell is a classic example of when somebody becomes a veteran and they're called to reinvent themselves. See, when you catch a touchdown in a huge playoff game, right, you're still gonna get celebrated the same. And he doesn't have to be the leader. He doesn't have to be the wide receiver number one. He doesn't have to be the face of the franchise. So now he can just go out and be a really talented football player that's filling in for Robert Woods and taking full advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, if you look at the box score, it seemed like Cooper Kupp was really productive, but a lot of that came late in the game. It was great to have Odell Beckham contribute the way he did, but I'm also glad you mentioned Cam Akers, because Cam Akers has been in and out of the lineup, and he was a real weapon last night in particular. When they have all of these players all hitting at all cylinders like they did last night, they seem really tough to beat. What do you think about Akers as a weapon for this team?
And also the big run that he had, and you know you hate to see a player ever get carried off on the stretcher. And so that's always a scary point of the game. But that goes to the physicality of the run game and having Akers return to the lineup, creating a level of balance. And it seemed like I saw McVay understanding that I need to get Matthew Stafford going early. I need to get Odell Beckham going early. New additions to the team that haven't necessarily had playoff success, even though they're veteran players. And I think they started to feed off of that confidence.
Well, Jalen, this is sort of like new generation of head coaches in the NFL, the McVays, the Shanahans, LaFleurs, and Kingsbury. If you are Cliff Kingsbury this morning, what sort of soul searching are you doing, and how do you feel about your position as the head coach of the Cardinals?
Let's get D-Hop healthy. That's all you're thinking. And also, you just got to continue to add to what you were doing. Like, A.J. Green resurrected himself in a lot of ways with this team. He had a big opportunity to make a catch. He got hit, and he lost the football. So it continues to happen when you lose. You can look back at so many things, but they got off. You couldn't get off to a worse start. Mm-mm. That's the thing. Like, they could not have gotten off to a worse start. And so when you punt in five of your first seven possessions and the other two are interceptions, those games are impossible to win.
My thoughts and prayers are with Budda Baker, one of my favorite players in the league. Hope he heals
absolutely
up. And you did mention what a star-studded night it was last night, but it wasn't just on the field. In the stands as well, we had the Clippers there. We had Jay-Z there. There's Dwayne Wade, Gabrielle Union. Travis Scott was in a suite that got filled with sewage somehow because a pipe burst. What do you think about this new look, like L.A. star-studded football stadium that will be hosting the Super Bowl?
Only in California.
Look how old blue is.
So you got to think about it like this. First off, on the East Coast and the Midwest, it's cold outside. And most of those people that you see are snowbirding to California. The Rams are relevant again. They're in a new stadium. And they have a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So it's only right that the stars are going to be out. Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade living their best lives. You know how much I love them. Both have been on Renaissance Man, by the way. And anytime you go get Hove to gas up the jet and put Baby Blue on there.
Look how old Blue is. Blue is like a teenager, man. She makes me feel old. It's like my size. Big shout to Roc Nation, J-Hove, and the whole family. Well, we're used to seeing that kind of celebrity courtside downtown Los Angeles. Not at the football game, but the Lakers did have a game, and Jalen Rose, this happened. You take us through this dunk from Russell Westbrook on Rudy Gobert.
You and I talked about what's going to be next for Russ, and I told you to stop shooting the ball and start attacking. Powerful impact, boom, from the cannon. That's why nobody has gone against Busta Rhymes in the Versus just yet. Powerful impact, boom, from the cannon. And that's what you're gonna need to see from Russ. Attacking the rim with ferocity, not settling for three-point shots. Because as you know, when he's behind the line and somebody swings him the ball, there's space between him and the defender because he's open for a reason. So now you need him to be attacking just like that. And by the way, the Utah Jazz have been struggling here lately. And so when we started to do the hierarchy of the Western Conference and I separated the Warriors and the Phoenix Suns, and people were like, oh, what about Utah? These are the type of lulls they go in. The way Donovan Mitchell, Clarkson, Rudy Gay, they were struggling from three. And usually the Stifle Tower ain't getting banged on.
Gosh,
and so Utah's gonna have to get a tune-up really quick.
Well, after the loss to the Nuggets, there was discussions about the Lakers' effort, and you've got Urban Magic Johnson tweeting, and you've got LeBron tweeting apologies, and maybe Frank Vogel's on the hot seat. This was a nice get-back win for them, because outside of that dunk, you had a really nice contribution from not just LeBron and Russell Westbrook, but someone who you're familiar with, Stanley Johnson, showing up on the stat sheet for the Los Angeles Lakers, who used to watch with the Pistons. Do you think this can get them back above 500 and get them on a little run here?
See, effort was always the thing for Stanley. And defensive tenacity. And then if he was gonna make shots and or give you offense, that was gonna always be a bonus. I mean, he was a lottery pick, Jacoby. He was out of the NBA. So now for him to get this opportunity on this stage with this team, it's good to see him taking advantage of it.
early in his career, I'm sure you remember this, he kind of made his mark by guarding LeBron in a series that did not go the Pistons' way. It is now time for one of my favorite segments, Broken News.
To everyone else, it's breaking news. To Jalen and Jacoby listeners, it's broken news.
We spent all summer long talking about where Ben Simmons was going to be traded, whether or not he would play, and one name that you always linked to this potential deal was a head-scratcher at the time. The name was James Harden. Well, you'll never believe this. There's been some reports from Mark Stein and others that potentially James Harden would be willing to relocate and potentially end up in Philadelphia with the 76ers in some sort of sign-and-trade type of deal with Ben Simmons involved. Mr. Rose, how did you know then, and what do you think that it's out now to non-Jalen and Jacoby?
I'll show you how to do this, son. Here's the thing, dog. When Ben Simmons did not show up at training camp after struggling in the playoffs last year, I mentioned to anybody that would listen, now you can't move him. The only way you can move him is if he shows up, replays his value to all NBA caliber status, all-star status, to move him for an all-star. And then there's a big three that's happening with the Nets. Kyrie Irving is a part-time player. James Harden has adjusted his role. He's looked a lot better since Kyrie's return, but there were times in this year where he was just kind of looking disinterested, in particular a play against Detroit, when the ball just casually rolled into the backcourt and he allowed the defender to just pick it up and dunk it. And so, looking deeper into the box score, I'm like, wait a minute. James Harden still want to be a marquee guy, right? He's still, like in Friday, he like pig's feet. He like hog maws. And so if we're not going to win it all with the Nets with me sacrificing, I might still have a situation where I could be the guy. Mike D'Antoni currently isn't coaching, but Daryl Morey is a president in the GM somewhere. Where is that? Oh, Philadelphia. Don't they have each other's phone numbers, David Jacoby? Like I told you, Daryl Morey can't make a move for Ben Simmons for cents on the dollar when he knows that James Harden hasn't committed to the Nets long term, regardless of their big three. Stay tuned. Broken news for J&J fans.
J&J fans also know that we are big fans of our next guest, Joseph Sikora. Tommy from Power, Frank Jr. from Ozarks joins us right after this very short break. Stay tuned for that. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, as you like to say, it is a family affair. Who is joining us right now on the program?
My brother from another mother who's even hosted this show. And this gentleman has gotten so many jobs right now, and it's so tough for us to track him down when he's promoting something new. It's our honor to have Joseph Sikora join Jalen and Jacoby. What up, my brother?
Here. Good to be back, man. I miss you guys.
Of course. It's great to have you back on the show. We're going to talk to you about the future of Tommy and Power. We're going to talk to you about Ozark debuting. But the first thing we need to talk to you about are the Chicago Bulls. You're a Chicago guy. The Bulls have blown up this season. What does it feel like to have this kind of success back on the basketball court in your hometown?
I mean, it's pretty amazing. I got to tell you, the Bulls vibe in Chicago is kind of reminding me of the early 90s, man. People are all about it. DeMar DeRozan with that New Year's Eve heave was pretty exciting, man. And I know that they're just barely hanging on to number one, but I see good things in the future, man. And also with Zach LaVine, we got that whole guard forward thing playing out. That's again reminiscent of the dream golden era of the Bulls. So I predict big things in the future.
I'm happy for my friends that root for the Bulls and are from Chicago, because once you guys added Caruso and Lonzo Ball this offseason, a lot of people questioned if that was going to catapult the team. So I'm happy to see that happen. But I have to ask you, the Bears struggled this year. The Blackhawks play there, obviously. You have the Bulls. Which team or sport runs Chicago in that landscape?
I gotta say it's the Bears, and I know that they didn't do that. They came a little bit short of what people were expecting of this season, but I know that you're not gonna blame Justin Fields, Jalen.
Correct. Correct.
That's your guy right there. But I think that they'll have a better season next year. And but the Bears have always kind of been the heart of Chicago, I gotta say.
Well, you've got Ozark season 4 debuting. You play Frank Jr. on the program. What can we expect from Frank Jr.'s storyline this upcoming season?
Frank had a really interesting storyline last season. So I think that if we start with a bang, no pun intended, and build from there, we will get with Frank's trajectory with Ruth. And he has an unexpected interaction with Darlene again. So I think that's not a spoiler, but we'll have to see what happens when those two get back together, because she took a lot away from this poor young fella.
I gotta ask another question
excited,
about
man.
My
I
guy.
I love Ozark. I'm a big fan.
No doubt. Big shout out to Ozark and my guy Frank Jr. You killing that role. I have to ask you though, what is this something you can tell us about your preparation for that role?
You know, I auditioned, I did the auditionings, and then I got cast, and then I went down there with a certain kind of idea of what I thought would be best for Frank Jr. And Jason Bateman was directing that first episode that I did. And after we did one take, he kind of pulled me over to the side and said, hey, how about this for the character, kind of instead of this? And what he basically told me was that you're a little too confident with this guy. Mm. The guy's a little bit more lost. He's a bit more of a loser. And, you know, Bateman was right. I had the two options of either being like, no, this is how I want to play the role, or, you know, whatever. But, like, Jason Bateman is such a creative and intelligent and a really nice guy, and I think a brilliant actor as well. So I'm glad I made the right choice to follow the directions of the director. And it turned into a really cool character.
Another character you're obviously forever going to be associated with is Tommy from Power. And Tommy from Power is no lack of confidence there. And he's also so associated with New York City. But as we move forward in the sort of the role of Tommy, he relocates, does he not?
Yeah, no, he's on his way to California, and he gets sidetracked to Chicago. Now, I got to say, I have nothing to do with the writing or the storytelling of that. I just show up as Tommy. So all I can tell you is that I have nothing to do with the other characters who have been made up. I have nothing to do. All I know is that I can tell you that Tommy is the same Tommy. He's still the pride of Southside Jamaica, Queens. He's still going to be that rough and tumble guy who is going to survive by any means necessary. So I think you're in for a really incredible treat. I'm so proud of the show, and the rest of the cast is brilliant. Tommy Flanagan, Willie Simmons, we've got Chris Lofton, who's also a Chicago native, Isaac Keys, Shane Harper, the list goes on and on and on. I couldn't be more proud to be part of this, and big shout out to my boss, 50 Cent, who came and hung out with us on set a couple of times and bared the freezing Chicago cold that you know very well, Jalen.
Those great lakes
breathe cold temperatures. So I was really happy that to share that times with him, because he's so instrumental in the series. And a shout out to Courtney A. Kemp as well.
Shout out to the Power Universe. I have to ask you something extremely important as I see a Chicago guy standing next to a native New Yorker. Which pizza are you preferring?
That's a very difficult and complicated question, as any pizza aficionado will tell you. But I will say this. I've never been a huge fan of Chicago deep dish pizza. It isn't like my friend Premium P calls pizza soup. But I would say that it's a gimmick. You know what I mean? It was started by Ike Sewell and possibly at Pizzeria Uno's, you know, sometime in the 50s, where he was gonna open a Mexican restaurant, and they wanted a kind of a take on a undone burrito. So they made up Chicago deep dish pizza. It's sticky, it's fun. As native Chicagoans, we kind of have it at just special occasions. This is not an every week thing. Every week, you know, Fridays was our pizza night in the house. We had a thin crust pizza, and my favorite pizza in the world. So yes, I prefer New York a slice over a deep dish slice. Here in New York, I love it. But my favorite pizza in the world is Phil's Pizza Doro at 5800 North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, my old neighborhood. So get a pie there and see what you think.
As a former pizza professional, I now have to check that out. It's my duty as a journalist as well. You might not be a big fan of the Chicago Deep Dip Pizza, but we are big fans of yours. You can always join us here on Jalen and Jacoby. Thank you so much for
Appreciate
your time.
I love you guys. Please, you got to have me back and let me know what you think of the season.
Oh, we will. Thank you so much for your time. We'll be right back right after this on Jalen and Jacoby. Wednesday night doubleheader on ESPN, starting with LaMelo and the Hornets taking on the Celtics in Boston at 7:30, and then in the nightcap, it is the Los Angeles Clippers going up against the Denver Nuggets in Denver. It is all preceded by Jalen Rose in a suit with a haircut on NBA Countdown at 7 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Time for one of our signature segments. It is Soft Move or Boss Move. Jalen, during the Manning cast last night, The Rock was on with his friend Stan. I'll let him explain.
I got a T-Rex skull, yes, that's Stan. As a matter of fact, so Stan was the most complete T-Rex skull ever found by a paleontologist, a young paleontologist, and his name was Stan, so this T-Rex head was named after him. Pretty cool and badass, isn't it?
Jalen, boss move or super duper boss move, having a T-Rex skull in your own crib.
The Rock is rich.
Rich.
That's all that was. A definite boss move. Hey, he used words that I ain't even heard of. What did he say, paleo what?
Paleo, a young paleontologist named Stan found it, and it was $31 million reportedly. A $31 million T-Rex skull in your crib.
Paleontologist, archaeologist, you know what I'm saying?
All I know about is mixologist. Big shout to The Rock. Man, big shout out to The Rock just being like, it's pretty badass, isn't it? Yeah, The Rock, it is badass. You got a T-Rex head in your crib, my guy. You know it's badass.
You know you gotta have high ceilings, too.
He is so rich. I want to thank Joseph Sikora for coming through. We will be back tomorrow and every day, 4 p.m. on ESPN. So, you know, I used to be a pizza professional, spent a few years in the kitchen as a teenager in Massachusetts, and I will say this, is I like all pizza. Chicago deep dish is good, but I can only eat a slice. You know what I mean? Whenever I'm in Chicago, I'm usually there for work on a gig or something, so I'm by myself, and I'll order like a full pie, and I'll just look at that thing like, I need to like invite 7 people over to eat this thing, because it sits in your stomach, man. I don't eat for like 24 hours after that. But I appreciate your honesty as a native Chicagoan too.
Listen, I'll eat a piece as well, man. But like anybody who wants to make it through that pie, you'd have to be twice as big as Jalen to make it through that pie and actually not feel like the biggest slob.
You might
in the world.
Not know this, but Jalen at one time was twice as big as Jalen about 8 years ago.
Exactly. But Jacoby, I have to ask Joseph a question. Tell him about how to order a pizza.
Oh, I always say well done. Always get it well done. Always well done. I also get extra sauce. No one asks for those two things, but you're never gonna regret it. Extra sauce and well done. You will not regret it, and I promise you that. And I have a question for you, Joseph. We were lucky enough to have you on the show earlier, and we hung out at lunch, and I spent most of my time being like, don't call him Tommy. Call him Joseph. That's not Tommy. His name is Joseph. How often, like what percentage of people that you meet on the street call you Tommy, Frank, or Joseph?
You know, it's funny, when I was just in Los Angeles over the weekend, so many people were like, oh my God, Frank Jr., I love you on Ozark. I was like, what? Like, you know, but I say 99% of people call me Tommy. When I'm in Europe, people either call me Joseph or Mr. Sikora. So, I mean, shout out to the Europeans out there.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll take that all day. But I always say, call me Joseph, call me Tommy, just call me.
There you go.
So, one of the more successful like entrepreneurs in multimedia is Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. And that is your boss. Tell us what it's like to have 50 Cent as somebody that you can use as a sounding board professionally, but also that's actually creatively helping you come up with content for so many years.
You could not possibly wish for a better boss than Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. He's inclusive. He elevates you. People always say you can either be loved or feared in your, when you're in a position of power to make that choice. But what they don't tell you is that if you're loved, people are afraid of letting you down. And that's 50 Cent. He taught me more about entrepreneurial life. He's always there to answer questions if I have questions about how he got from A to B. And he's been honest and upfront, even if the truth hurts. And I couldn't appreciate that more.
Well, that's amazing. He's also been on this show, and he was really impressive in person. Just his personality and his energy and his intelligence and his wit and then like his humor. Like he was so friendly and amazing. We'd love to have him back as well. He must be a great sounding board when you're working with that. Now, you obviously have these two big roles that you're currently working on now. You've had a long career with many other roles as well, but you mentioned a little bit about the difference between Tommy and Frank. And I think that people know Tommy's storyline. People that haven't seen Ozark that watch our show, Frank is as you mentioned, he's different. So how do you sort of like get into the headspace and how do you differentiate these two characters?
Well, to me, that's the fun of acting is that you make up the backstory. You have to make sure that your backstory matches what the writers put down for you as in terms of lines, especially. But the showrunner of Ozark, a guy named Chris Mundy, is brilliant. And I do not use that word lightly, and I use it very rarely. This is a brilliant, exceptional man who has the humbleness to say when he doesn't know something. I would ask questions about Frank and he'd be like, oh, I don't know. You know, and then so that gives the artist a little thing to say, okay, well, I can make that up. Or he's trusting me to come with, as the actor, to come up with that part of the backstory or an understanding of how this character would act in these situations. So with Tommy, I mean, I went in. I based him off of so many things. One of the people I based Tommy on was Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, too. It's kind of like a Curtis 50 Cent Jackson meets Dutch Schultz, you know, meets Harry Elleman, kind of these, all these gangster guys. So with Frank Jr., I had an idea, and then just kind of in the moment, like I told you before, with Jason Bateman giving some suggestions in the moment of how to complete this character. So it's a fun kind of, it's a fun balance. And I think any actor worth their salt, that's one of the most fun parts of the process is making up, using your imagination to say, who is this new person? And then making choices through those eyes.
Joseph, what is one of the more crazy fan interactions that you've ever had? I heard that a lady possibly once asked you to do something.
Oh my God, I will tell you this story. So I'm downtown at my favorite frozen margarita spot that I think a couple of us know. And I'm in the back and this lady goes like, oh my God, Tommy. And I'm with my friend Tony that we call Bruv, this English guy. And Bruv's like, oh, this lady probably wants a picture with you. So I turn around and say, hey, she goes, oh, I don't want a picture. She goes, I want you to choke me. That was after the Tommy had killed his girlfriend, Holly, played by Lucy Walters. After that episode came out, and I had never heard anything like that in my life, and she was dead serious. And I'm like, I can I sign something?
She's trying to get you locked up.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So you always want to give the people what they want, but you can't always give the people what they want, especially when they ask you to choke them. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. And you know, I got a movie coming out too in March called Fear that I did with King Batch, Andrew Batchelor, T.I., Idle Goldberg, and Terrence J. It's called Fear, and Deion Taylor, the great director Deion Taylor, directed it. We had so much fun. We did that early on in the COVID. Nobody got COVID. We filmed it out in Tahoe. It's a very scary thriller. So watch for that in March too. It's gonna be a big year for me, man. 2022.
Well, we all know about sort of Ozark and Power, and those are things that have already been shot. They're coming out now. But in your business, you're always working on things way down the road. So aside from Fear, what other sort of like teases? What other little taste of information can you give us about the future of Joseph Sikora on the screen?
Well, one of the most exciting things is that my brother Alvin and I started a production company called Black Fox Productions. And we've got 8 different projects in development right now. really excited about so many of them. But it's so funny with the production stuff, you got to be even more tight-lipped than the acting stuff, because you don't want to lead people down a road and like, well, okay, that's getting pushed a year, or that writer decided that they, you know, that wasn't, they didn't want to be part of the project anymore. So I'm really excited about 8 of these different projects. And when we sell our first thing and it's coming out, the place that I'm going to announce it is right here at Jalen and Jacoby.
That's love. We appreciate you, my brother. And you right. Last year was a big year for you. This is going to be a major year for you, my brother. Looking forward to the next project, supporting everything you have going on, and looking forward to catching up and breaking bread soon.
And listen, I've been loving watching you on To Tell the Truth.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You are so-
Rest in peace, Betty White.
Rest in peace, Betty White. One of the greats.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate you taking the
time,
Joseph.
Thank you, my brother.
Always. Always and forever, fellas.
Appreciate the love.
I want to thank Joseph Sikora for coming by, doing the TV show, and of course, giving the people what they want, doing podcast exclusive content with the podcast audience. Now, Jalen Rose, I have a great soft move or boss move question from you, for you, rather. There is a young lady by the name of Sophia Franklin. You'll never believe this, but she's an Instagram model. I don't even know what that means anymore, but I know that in preparation for this show, I have to do the research, just my journalistic duties, to go visit her page and take a look at her in her various
states. If somebody check out Jacoby's search history, don't judge him. Got it.
Oh, please. I'm no one seeing my search history. That's it. That search page is not, I'm not proud of my search page. The algorithm does not paint me in a great light. However, Sophia Franklin does this thing, Jalen, when she goes on first dates, to let dudes, that the dude that she is with, know that she is wanted. She will go to the bathroom, give the bartender money, and then have that drink delivered to her table from an anonymous source, just sort of letting her know that there's a market for her out there. And she has done this multiple times. I love the ingenuity. I love the pre-planning. So question for you, Mr. Rose, is soft move or boss move, creating an admirer at the bar on the first date yourself?
Soft move and doing way too much. This is a classic example of what you would tell a player. Like, when I played for Larry Brown, I came with a term called paralysis by overanalysis. And what I meant by that is, all-time great coach, the only guy, I believe, to win a championship as the head coach in college and in the pros. No shots or shade. But the game was just different then. And one of the things he would do between plays is like give a dissertation. So it's like we're going over like 4, 5, 6, or 7 plays, but then like between like play 2 and 3, he'll talk for like 45 minutes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? And so that's something I started to see him actually evolve in. You know, we all evolve in different stuff. Everybody have strengths and weaknesses. I bring that up because as a player, when it's time to do that next play, you gotta hit the ground running. And guys like halfway stretching, you know what I'm talking about, Jacoby. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man. You're like, all right, let's run it. Guys like, man, damn, hold up. You know what I'm saying?
I forgot the first play.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so I bring that up because you would say to that young player that when they're out there and they're not playing with speed, but it looked like they're thinking too much, you'll tell them like to get out of your own head. Right? That's what she's doing here. Like, all of this buildup around you is like unnecessary. You're actually with the person. So you scored, right?
If you want to impress them. Go ahead. I might have had a little paralysis by overanalysis of her Instagram page. And in doing so, I will have to say she's not the type that needs to create a fake market for her. She's a very attractive young lady. She's a very attractive young lady. She doesn't need these kind of shenanigans.
Correct. It's just unnecessary. You know, it's doing too much. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. And by the way, I got to tell her something that clearly she should know based on all of the extensive research I just hear you telling me about this young lady. She clearly knows this. Just because somebody send you a drink, that don't mean nothing.
Yeah, I've seen you buy drinks for like old ladies, you know what I mean? Yeah, I've seen you take care of people's nothing. Tabs.
Just to
like,
be nice.
Just because they said hello and took a picture
Correct.
With you or something.
Yeah, that
they're not marriage proposals. Nothing. Those aren't marriage proposals.
Correct. Know? Yeah, that means nothing. And then the other thing is, just so she knows, and everybody that can hear me knows, this is why it's important to frequent places. I gotta tell y'all a secret.
Just tell us a secret.
Bartenders, waitresses, bouncers, security, they all talk, just so you know. And so if this is not your first time at this place, don't believe that he hasn't already spit your game out to somebody else. So you think you're running game, but you're actually being played. So just enjoy your date. If you wanna send a surprise to your date, here's what you do. Go to the bathroom and come out with less clothing on.
No, I got something better. Go to the bathroom and pay for the bill on the side, so it's all taken care of. You know what I mean? That'd be a nice little surprise. So, but I will say this though, one thing I did like about this move is she said she would buy herself a shot. Which I just like the visual, you know what I mean? Of like the bartender being like, yes, this double shot of Jameson is from an admirer across the room, and then she just takes the whole shot real quick. I like that idea. Good for her. Mr. Rose, a couple things I want to say. Number one, Kevin Durant is out. Sprained MCL, something like 4 to 6 weeks. And Kyrie Irving was asked once again about his vaccination status, and he quadrupled down. He said, I stay rooted in my decision. That's just what it is. It's not going to be swayed by one thing in this NBA life. What does that tell you?
That he doesn't plan on getting vaccinated. And while there are multiple things I fancy, one of the things I also fancy is comedy. I like to have fun. The E is for entertainment. So what you do, here's what you do. When and if he has some sort of like reason to like get on the table. No, in all honesty though, I ain't mad at him. Like, it's okay for him to decide not to get vaccinated if that's his choice. And it's gonna be interesting to see what happens to those relationships if they don't achieve their goals. And this is why I said what I, this is one of the reasons I said what I said about James Harden. This ain't what he signed up for. Mm-mm. So like, I respect that you don't want to get vaccinated, but this ain't why I showed up Kangaroo Harden in Houston to get traded to come to the Nets and be a part of a big three. And one of the guys is a part-time player. So at the end of this year, that's why you haven't seen Philadelphia move Ben Simmons. Because Daryl Morey knows what I know.
Jalen, if you are your former teammate Sean Marks, who's making player personnel decisions in Brooklyn, do you blindly offer both James and Kyrie sort of max deals? Just because you have to, because you have that kind of talent in the building, you try to keep them in the building. Or do you maybe get, you know, finagle a little something different?
So you really want me to go here? Okay. So let's go deeper in the box score with this Kyrie thing. Pod exclusive broken news. Here you go right now. I believe this would be the only season that the Nets allow him to be a partial player. Let me say that again. I believe this will be the only season they allow him to be a partial player. This year, he was still getting basically paid 50% of his salary. So to them, while people are picking up people from the G League and so many people have their rosters depleted, we might as well activate the guy that we're paying not to play anyway. That's really what ended up happening there. But now that we see this pandemic is now becoming, as Rick Rose has said, this pandemic is becoming real life. And as this season happens, if he's a part-time player and they get bounced in the playoffs, one, I believe James Harden doesn't sign an extension anyway. So yes, Sean Marks could offer him that, and he should offer him that. I would, to your question, yes, offer him that. But if they lose in the second round or the Eastern Conference Finals and Kyrie's a part-time player, I think that fractures that friendship, that relationship, that teamwork that they were trying to form as a big three. I think he looks at KD like they were in belly, like, that's your man. That's your man. And let me answer your Kyrie part of this question. Where are you right now?
New York City, Seaport.
Those laws ain't changing. So right now, it's January. The law ain't gonna be much different in October, November.
That
if anything, it's gonna be more stringent.
That makes me sad. Please, can we throw a maybe there? You know, maybe.
Well, I'm just being realistic. Let's just be realistic. You know what I'm saying? Let's just be realistic. And because of that, that means their laws are gonna get more stringent, not weaker. And so because of that, you now have to look at your team and say, if this costs me James Harden, am I gonna choose between Harden and Kyrie? So I ask you, if you're the Nets and or Kevin Durant and Kyrie doesn't come back and y'all lose in the second round or y'all lose in the conference finals and he's a part-time player, if you're a KD and or the organization, David Jacoby, who do you choose going forward between Harden and Kyrie?
Well, that is a layered, nuanced question. I'm glad you answered it because I've considered this a lot. There's a couple scenarios that make this like a little bit more easy to answer. One of those is like, imagine you lose a game 7 at home, right? So you're hosting a playoff series, but you lose in 6. And you know what? You lost game 6 in Brooklyn. And Kyrie wasn't even in the building. You know what I mean? Like that. So then there's also this part. We all know who was there first. KD and Kyrie. So you've got KD, you've got an MVP candidate. What you can't do, what I'm not gonna do if I was put in this position, which no one's gonna put me in this position because I'm just an idiot, doesn't know anything, but you ask a question. What you can't do is say, you know what, KD, I know Kyrie's your guy, but it just didn't work out. So we're gonna go with James and we're kind of, you know, we're gonna cut bait with Kyrie a little bit. Because then you upset your MVP candidate, who the KD, I would say, is a better basketball player than all three of them, right? So I want, my number one thing is keep KD happy. But if it gets down to a situation where KD is like, Kyrie's my guy, I know it was a little weird last year, but like I'll talk to him, maybe try to get him vaccinated or something. That puts me in a position to make decisions against my best interest. Because I believe, again, if I was put in charge, my decision would be to keep James Harden and to let Kyrie go, if I had to make that decision. However, you have to factor in the relationships and how close KD and Kyrie, I believe, are, and who KD would prefer to play basketball with. Because if you make that decision wrong, there can be dominoes that can end up hurting you down the line.
Well said and articulated. That's why we're going to look up this time next year, and I predict Kevin Durant will be first or second in the league in scoring, and the Nets will be top 3 in the East, and Kyrie won't be a participant.
Interesting. I mean, it's another thing, if you look at this roster, and we're making player personnel decisions, they really need to build out the roster around these three. You know what I mean? You've seen this a lot with superstars get together. It's like year one, it's like, all right, let's just get them in the building. And then you gotta start figuring out the best complementary players. And when you have three guys making $40+ million, it makes it a lot harder to fill out that roster. So perhaps this could be a win-win for everybody involved. You never know though.
Well, they did build it out. Patty Mills, terrific offseason pickup. LaMarcus Aldridge has given them quality minutes. They're just going to struggle to go against physical bigs and interior presence. So, Bam, you've heard me say this.
You know who I like, though? I like Da'Ron Sharpe has been giving them good minutes. I kind of like this guy, Da'Ron Sharpe. You know what I mean?
He's
like,
he's giving them good minutes. But it ain't slow down Giannis-type minutes. You know?
No.
So that's what I'm talking about. And that puts a lot on KD. I mean, not only as a terrific player, but as a defender who's slight of build. That ain't his game. Like, KD ain't out there trying to muscle nobody.
No, not at all. Well, Jalen, it's been great having Joseph on. He feels like family. Yes. It's been great looking at Sophia Franklin's Instagram page for the last 10 minutes while you were talking and I was talking. And it's always been great talking to you, my brother. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Let's do it again tomorrow, my brother. Appreciate the love. Thank you guys for the support. 10 years and counting. Great football playoff games this weekend. Hate to see my guy Kyler Pesce gone for the season.
He got whacked. Kyler Pesce got whacked.
But he got whacked.
He got whacked.
By Joseph Sakura.
Just like, you know what? Joe Pesci ends up getting whacked at the end of all these movies anyway. So I guess at the end of the season, it's only right that you've been calling him Kyler Murray the whole time. Because Joe Pesci don't ride off into the sunset in these roles that he plays. You know?
You get out of line, you get whacked. Everybody know the rules.
Yeah.
We're not done. We are not done. Got the gift.